I know that in the church we have said that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in the body. Sometimes, in a not so intentional way, as the church, now I'm talking about the church body, we tend to focus on that spiritual part, that spirit part of man. But the other part, we tend to belittle it. And it is very important too. Let's start our discussion this morning by opening to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. I'll title what I'm going to talk about this morning with understanding. And all throughout this month, if you've been around, we've been talking about, you asked for it. So we're just talking about just random things that people, you know, just have questions about. And sometimes they don't say it out loud, but they still have the question there anyways. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Okay, I can read it here. I'm sure if you don't see it on the screen, most of us have a phone. And I see some people with physical Bible, you know. So let's open it together. 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." God all wants us to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we believe in. So many people, the way they deal with God like a myth. Something that you don't understand. You can't question. You know, there even if some people are, I know growing up as an African kid, they will call God some names, which to a very large extent is correct. The unquestionable God. And what that means is that God cannot be approached. You can't talk to God. But can I tell you the truth? God is not really that mystical. God is not that person that you cannot approach, that you cannot touch, that you cannot talk to. God is not like some parents or some professors who their word is a fine, once they say anything, whether it's right or wrong, is the final thing. No, God is not like that. Of course, God can't really say anything that is wrong, but even at that, he's ready to talk to you. He's ready to dialogue. In Isaiah chapter 1, he said, "Come and let us reason together." God knows the end from the beginning, but he's still willing that man will come to the discussion table and let them talk together. And sometimes I like it when Jesus, when he was here in his earthly ministry, he would say things like this. When something happens, he would just ask his disciple a question. "What do you think? What do you think?" And can I tell you the truth? He wasn't asking to just make them see their folly alone. Sometimes he threw a question to them so that they will understand how not so wise they were. You know. But some other time, he's bringing them into the whole conversation so that whatever they say will also be implemented. If you look at John chapter 2, in John chapter 2, it's a long read. Maybe if you start reading from verse 1. There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus was there. His mother was there too. And remember that Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. So Jesus was God in the flesh. So when Jesus was there, the Bible said that the mother came to Jesus and said, "They don't have wine. They are out of wine." And the Bible said, Jesus told her, "My time has not yet come." Meaning that, forget about it. We're not doing any miracles yet. No, there's no, just don't even go there. But if you read that story, at the end of that story, what Jesus said it was not yet time for, what Jesus said that he was not going to do, he eventually did it. What does that tell you? That means that you can approach this our God. You can talk to this our God. It's not like, "Look, I've said it and that's it. I'm not going to look at it." No, you can talk to him. He wants to talk to you. If you make your relationship to God like that, you will enjoy it more. Many of us have dealt with God too much as God. And can I tell you, Christianity did not present God to us as God. It's presenting to God to us as what? Father. Father. I have kids. We break the rule all the time. Amen. Especially the rules that mommy has set. Amen. I'm not looking at any way. We break the rule. Why? Because they are my children. Yes. They are not dealing with me as pastor. Maybe as pastor, we won't break the rule because we have to follow the law. Or maybe, and I also teach too. Maybe as a teacher, sometimes when people don't get the right answer, even though I like them, you still give them the grace that they got. But as a father, I can't give only what they deserve. Many of the times, I give more than what they deserve. Because who am I? I'm a father. I'm dealing with them with my heart, not just my head. And ladies and gentlemen, God is like that to us. God wants to be like that to us. He wants us to enjoy him as a father. Can somebody say, God, you are my father. In fact, sometimes it's good to pray like this. Daddy. Hi, Dad. Some people don't think that's prayer. It's prayer. Because the way some people know about prayer is that when they come to prayer, thou God that dwelleth in the heavenlies and in the mountains, and you start speaking English that you don't even speak with human beings. God help you. You know, so God does wants to be this mystic being. And you see, because of this, that's why when many people get tough questions about God, they say, really? Is that in the Bible? If that is in the Bible, then I don't think I have to serve this God. There are so many public figures that some of you know, that you've probably even watched their shows, that the reason that they left church was that they got to this place where they said they now understood that the Bible cannot be true. And why did they think they understood that the Bible cannot be true? They saw for the first time some things that they had never seen before. And they didn't think it fit or normal to ask question about that from God, because God is not paranoid like some people think he is. He is able to take really tough, challenging questions. Sometimes it may take a long time before he explains. You finally come to the understanding, but there is possibility to talk to God as a father. Can somebody say, God is my father? You know, so after a while, even things like Thanksgiving develop into something called myth. And my own definition for myth is that a myth is when people forget or misplace the essence of a particular history. It becomes a myth. So people will now call that thing or approach that thing in the way they deem fit the best. So right now, I think Thanksgiving in America has become a myth. We don't really know why. The why of Thanksgiving, you know. And I was at one commencement celebration several years ago, and the president was saying this. He said it was a good weather that day, and he was like, wow, the sun is good out there. And then he said, I want to thank you, the graduates, for the sun. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Why will you be thanking them for the sun? They don't even have anything to do with it. You don't know. That's not the person to thank for the sun. And some people would even try to be a little more less political or less political correct. They'll say, I'm thankful for the sun, right? And then they will leave it at that. Like all these things, even now, you will have met a lot of people that will say things like, I'm thankful for family. I'm thankful for this. And then they will leave it at that. In my own, and I know maybe I think my own English is particular to me. In my own world of English, I don't think it is possible to be thankful for something such as sun, such as weather, such as good behavior, and you don't relate it to somebody who has made that happen. So I think it's wrong to say, I'm thankful for family and stop at that. I think the right way to say it is that I'm thankful to God for family, because family doesn't make itself. Family didn't make itself up, but just like the man that was saying to the graduates that I'm thankful to you people for sun. Are you kidding me? They don't even know anything to it. They don't have anything to do with the sun. Somebody made the sun. Somebody is the one that is making the sun to shine. And it's that person that we should be thankful to. So many of the times people do not understand. And the word of God says it very clearly that he wants us to understand. In Matthew chapter 7, very popular scripture. Verse 7, the Bible says, we should ask and we will receive. We should seek and we will find. We should knock the door. So God is challenging you to ask. God is challenging you to get involved with him on the level of reasoning. In fact, Jesus, when he was here on earth, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. The Bible said, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. God wants us to love him with our mind, our thinking. Yes, it's okay. Some people have thought that when you have an analytical mind, logical mind, scientific mind, you can't serve God. You can't be a child of God. It's not true. In fact, if you... there's a guy that wrote a book, A Case for Christ, Lee Strobel, I think that's what the name of the guy. This guy was a skeptic, and the reason he wrote that book was that he wanted to prove that there was no God. But in his empirical journey, or in his scientific job, or what he was trying to do, trying to walk through some facts and things in the natural to show that there is no God, you know what he arrived at? There is God. That's what he arrived at. So it is possible, and God wants you and I to love him with our mind. He doesn't want our mind to be suspended, because sometimes some people tend to think that Christian faith is all about, oh, just believe, and believe even if you don't understand. Can I tell you this? You can't really believe well until you understand. I'm going to get to that. So God wants you to use your mind. God, the reason he gave you the head is not that so that you will throw it away. You know, sometimes when people read Romans chapter 12, when the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know the way people read it sometimes? Be transformed by the removing of your mind. So they remove the mind and expect the transformation. No, God said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Meaning that you make your mind focus on something that is bigger than what you have already known before. And then you change, you metamorphose, you transform by the renewing of your mind. So God wants us to serve him with our mind. God is interested in that. In fact, if you love the Lord with your mind, you will appreciate more of the things that God is doing and God wants to do. God wants you to be able to use your mind to understand some of his ways and the things that he wants to do in you. So it is okay to ask tough questions. And ladies and gentlemen, in our world, there are tough questions. Oh, there are questions that I'm sure so many people in this audience have this morning. You've asked those questions before, and it's not particularly wrong. It's just sometimes the way some of us ask it and to who we ask it. You know, that's why we have not gotten the right response. I'm going to go through some scriptures just to establish the role of understanding in the believer's life. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13, and this is Jesus speaking here. It says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. I was listening to a book or reading a book, and the person was saying this. He said, eyes that see are common. Eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are few. This scripture confirms that. It is possible to look and not see. It is possible to have eyes and not really, really see. There are some things that are in this room that some people have not seen. Not because they have not looked in that direction, but they have just not seen it. You know that? They've not seen it. So the word of God says here that there are some people that what I am saying to them is parables. It's just like fables, like tales, like, you know, we can't make sense of this. It's a parable. You see, though they see, they are not really seeing. Please leave that scripture there, please. Though they see, they are not really seeing. Though they hear, they are not really hearing. And the thing that is not letting them to hear and see well is because they don't understand. Understanding is very key. Understanding is very key. Many things that people do in the name of God is because of ignorance. All this whole terrorism thing, is it not in the name of God? It's in the name of God. Some people believe that when they do the killing and all of that, they will go and get Why is it? I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Ridiculous. But they don't understand. They hear, they don't understand. They see, they don't understand. Sometimes, sadly enough, people sometimes come to church. They've been coming to church several years. They've been coming to church several months. They hear, but they don't understand. They say a lot of things in church. They don't. And sometimes, that's my challenge with church. We have a lingo. We have a language. We have things that we use to cover up the truth. We come and say, praise the Lord. We know the response. If I say praise the Lord, what's the response? You see that? So many of us come here and we respond religiously. Religiously in the part that you respond without it having any effect with what is happening with you. So you can successfully come to a church service and everything that happened in there, you respond normally, but you have not experienced what happened in there. And that's what the scripture is saying. Some people can hear, some people can see, but they won't appreciate or enjoy the fullness of what they hear and see because they do not understand. Because they do not understand. Luke chapter 8 verse 10. Just leave the scriptures alone. It's only the scriptures you guys in the back can help me with. Luke chapter 8 verse 10. The Bible said here, and he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others all these things are in parables. Unto you it has been given to know the mysteries. I like this translation. This translation says the secrets. Mysteries are different from myth. Myths are the concoctions and the imagination of men or skewed understanding of a particular issue. But mysteries are secrets and they don't have to remain secret. They can be revealed. Because this scripture lets us understand that there are some people that can appreciate mystery. And can I tell you, the fullness of the things of God is mystery. But it is not a myth. It is mystery, but it is a mystery that can be revealed if you understand. Because that's what he told them here. He said, for unto you, it has been given to know the ministry of mysteries of God. And at the end, he says, though they see, they may not see. Though they hear, they may not hear. He said, because if they really, really see, they will understand. So you, if you experience understanding of God, you'll be able to appreciate the secrets of God. And my prayer for somebody listening to me this morning is that you begin to appreciate the mysteries of God in the name of Jesus. So sight, real sight, is a function of understanding. You really see when you understand. And that's why sometimes some people, you've heard this before, somebody has been trying to do a particular math problem or is been trying to solve a particular problem. And suddenly it comes to this point, they now say something like, I see. Even though they've been looking at that particular issue for a long time, they now come to a point where they say, I see. What happened when they say that I see is that they understand. They come to that eureka moment where they kind of say, look, I can see the secret behind this thing. I can see the mystery that is behind this. So understanding is very key. So until understanding is secured, even scriptures will be a myth. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24 and verse 45, Luke 24:45, he says, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. So it was until their minds were opened that they were able to understand the scriptures. So until our minds are open, until there is understanding supplied, even when we read the scripture, it will just be a letter. You see, because the letter, the ink of the scripture will find animation in when we gain understanding. When we gain understanding. And my prayer this morning is that somebody will begin to operate on the level of understanding in the name of Jesus. In Genesis chapter 11, when people wanted to build a building, Genesis 11, when they were united to do something bad, the Bible said in verse 7, Genesis chapter 11 and verse 7, that what God really did was to disrupt their language. It was to affect their understanding, because he understood that if there was understanding amongst these people, nothing would be impossible for them. That may be some word for married people here. Amen. If we can come to some realization and some understanding that we are on the same team, maybe that will help us. Amen. I think a wise man recently in one program we had here said that married couples need to understand that they are in the same team. Amen. Because sometimes we tend to think that we're on opposite faction. I am the man, you are the woman, and we are playing against each other, you know. But you see, in a marriage relationship, when a husband wins, he has also lost, right? If you win an argument or you win the discussion, you have still lost because your wife lost. So we need to understand that. I just threw in that for free, so you can see my accountants later. You know. So God here in Genesis chapter 11, verse 7 says, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand. So understanding is very, very key in our relationship with God, even in our relationship with one another. It is very, very key. Many of the time, we deal with one another on the level of just information. We don't deal on the level of understanding. And God is saying that, you know, we need to change that in this season. Psalm 82 and verse 5. Psalms 82 and verse 5. And all of the things I've been saying this morning is to just build a case that understanding is a big deal. It's a big deal. Now look at this. And then I'm going to be putting it all together in a little minute, a few minutes' time. The Bible says here, this translation says, the gods know nothing. The translation I had put in my note here says, they know not, neither do they understand. They walk in darkness, and all the foundation of the world are out of course. Move to verse 6, please. He said, I have said that you are gods, and all of you children of the Most High. Let me just read the exact scripture. Are we getting there? Or let me quickly bring it up. I didn't want to quote it. It's back. Okay. I said you are gods and you are all the sons of the Most High. But before there, he had said that they do not understand. That is why in verse 7, in fact, he even said they were going to die like mere men. When people don't understand what? When they don't understand who they are, they may not be able to appreciate what they have. They may not be able to. Many children of God walk in some things that God has sorted out, God has taken care of. But the reason they are not enjoying the fullness of what God has done for them and to them is because they don't understand. They don't understand. I think it was in the School of the Word earlier this morning. I think I heard this, that it takes understanding the Word of God to be able to come into the fullness of your sonship. That somebody can be a believer, and he may be a believer, though he has believed in Jesus, he has not fully enjoyed the fullness of what Jesus has to provide because he does not understand. So there is something about understanding. And whenever you come to church, make sure you don't just hear the word. Make sure that you don't just follow the motion. Make sure that you don't just do what everybody is doing, even if everybody is lifting up their hands. Because sometimes the multitude does not have to be right. In fact, many times, the multitude may be wrong. So we need to be dealing with God from the level of understanding. And this is where I'm going this morning. Psalm 47 and verse 7. Some people didn't see me coming here, but this is where I'm going. Psalm 47 and verse 7. The Bible says, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. This is the NIV. The King James Version says, sing to him with understanding, or have a thanksgiving with understanding. The reason why Thanksgiving sometimes is one of the holidays some people, after they finish by Monday, they are hungover and tired and all. Many of the times it's because we don't understand the scripture. He says, for God is the king of the earth, sing to him or express thanksgiving to him with understanding. You and I need to understand that, or we need to know that when we praise God, we can praise God from understanding. We cannot just show up or raise our hands, but we are praising him from understanding. And that's what the Almighty God is admonishing us this morning. So this morning, we're going to have some little minutes to just express ourselves to God. I want you to do it with understanding. I want you to do it with the consciousness that God wants you to have. And that consciousness really relies on what we found in Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5 to 6. And I'll close with that. Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5 to 6. I think I threw away some of our media guys this morning. Okay, all right. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. What's the scripture saying? This scripture is saying the path to understanding is trust. Because you see, when we talk about praising God, when we talk about thanksgiving, people have a question. They're almost going to say, excuse me, Pastor, am I to praise God for that bad thing that just happened last week? Am I to praise God for the fact that I prayed? He hasn't answered me. This is November, sir. You remember it was you that said so. You said, this is the year of pleasant surprises. You said, God said so. Are you lying, or is God lying, or both of you are lying? Who should I owe now? So there's a question in our heart. But scripture is saying here this morning, trust in the Lord. The path, how you begin to understand God is when you learn to trust in him. And how do you trust in him? By not leaning on your own personal understanding of how events should be or how things should be, but leaning onto him and allowing your relationship with him to go into a relationship of trust. It's not everybody that calls upon the name of God that trusts him. It's not even everybody that knows God that trusts him. Trust is a function of relationship to the point where you can lean on the integrity of the person that you are trusting. Trust is not something that has to do with what the person wants to do now. It has to do with in the belief, in the assurance of the personality of the person that we are dealing with here. The reason why some of you came into this place and you sat on the chair without having too much issues, although if some people might have had issues, you know, they've not been to this church before, they might have been looking at the chair so hard. Those people, they need to be prayed for. They have trust issues, amen. But that's not where I'm going. The reason many of you sat there is because you believe that normally, as a way of doing things, chairs hold people, right? In very normal sense, except in funny situations. Cheers, old people. So you don't have a trust issue. That is the way God wants you to graduate into your dealing with him. Where you can trust him with things. Where you can rely on him. Where you can know that whether it is working or not working, he's going to take care of things. So when we are praising God, it is from that point of view that God wants us to praise him. From the point of understanding that you trust me. You know that whether it is working or not working, it has worked or not yet worked, I can trust him that this will work. I can trust him that this is going to come out the way he has said it will come out. I can trust him that my expectation will not be cut short. I can trust him that I may not understand how things are going on now, but I trust the person. I trust the person. I trust the person. That's the way God wants to get, that's the way God wants us to deal with him. He wants us to deal with him from the position of trust. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the best way to deal with God. Because if you are dealing with God transactionally, you do this for me, I do this for you. You show up for me, I show up for you. Because that's how some people are dealing with God, on a transaction-based level. If God does me good, I will come to church and say, praise the Lord. And if he doesn't do me anything good, but God, you and I know there's no reason for me to say anything to you. But you can move beyond transaction and move to the level of trust. And that's how God wants us to praise him this morning. He wants us to praise him with understanding, with the fact that we trust in him, we trust in his person, we trust in the integrity of his word, we trust in the fact that he is not a liar, we trust in the fact that even other people's experience does not invalidate his word. Because some people trust experience. I know that this is the age of reviews. I know that this is the age of comments on Facebook, Instagram, and that's how people make judgment on what they buy. But can I tell you the truth? You can't go by review to determine who God is. God is personality by himself. Without any review or anybody's experience, is the validation of why you should trust in this God. I want you to bow down your heads this morning. And I want you to talk to God. Some of you may need to apologize for how you have treated him. And some of you, you may just need to say, Lord, I want to stop leaning on my own understanding, my own personal information, my own personal way of viewing things. I want to lean on you. And I know that doing that will make me understand you more and more. Doing that will make me praise you with understanding, because trust is my vehicle to that understanding you more and more. That's what I want this morning. And there are some people here, they've not had the opportunity to say a prayer of saying, Jesus, I want to trust you with my whole life. I want to just abandon me to you. I believe in what scripture says about you. I believe that who you are who you say you are. And I want to trust my life with you. There are people like that this morning. I want to pray with you. If you let me see your hands up, I wouldn't even tell you to come forward. If you let me see your hands up, I will pray with you. That's the first thing you and I need to settle in our relationship with God. The fact that, Lord Jesus, I give you my life to handle it, to be the manager, to be the one in charge of things, controlling our fears in my life. So if you are here like that this morning and saying, Pastor, I want to entrust myself to Jesus. I want to commit myself to Jesus. Some of you may be doing it for the first time. Some of you may be doing it again after some time because you feel like there's been a disconnection. Whichever category you are, I just need to see your hand up. You need to show me that you are there and that I should pray with you. That, Lord Jesus, I understand that I can completely trust myself to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory because you are the God that answers prayers. Can we stand to our feet this morning?